From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
All right, so set the precedent.
Yep, you have. We're going to keep it...
Hi, Troy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Now, a bunch of things happening this week, and one of those things is because it's Thanksgiving Day in the United States on Thursday. Well, their Thursday.
Yep.
The day after that is the day...
Thanksgiving, of course, is to celebrate...
I don't know what it's for.
It's been...
It's something, but anyway, the day after that is called Black Friday. Now, yeah. It's about retail and sales and all that kind of thing, but it's been notable to me ever since they made it like a mini record store day and they put out a bunch of special releases for that day.
Oh, really? I didn't know that they'd married the two.
Yeah, yeah, record store day, Black Friday.
Yeah, because that Black Friday is a weird thing. I find it weird, actually, weird.
Yeah, it is weird, but they've been trickling through and we're going to get one big delivery today, but the first thing today is in fact Black Friday release, right?
Okay.
Now, we have been talking about Japanese jazz, have we not?
We have been talking at length about Japanese jazz on multiple occasions.
So, let's have something made in Japan that isn't Japanese and something that jazz that isn't jazz. This I present to you from 1975, released only in Japan at the time. Hasn't come out. It's come out once on vinyl, very limited in the rest of the world. This is the first time. This is a double LP by the magnificent Herbie Hancock.
Look at that LP. What do you mean? How can this have not been released since?
Because it was at the time there was a couple of Miles Davis Live in Japan albums that only came out in Japan. It was the jazz market was big in Japan.
You said jazz, not jazz.
Well, wait till you hear it. It's not jazz. This, of course, is the era of Herbie's Headhunters.
Right.
The band rather than the album. This is around, this is just after Thrust, I think. But, of course, it is the Headhunters band with the great Herbie Hancock. And look at that sleeve, Mike.
This is one of my favourite parts of From the Crate, because the reason it's in a crate, because it's in a big, colourful sleeve.
That's right.
And on this particular cover, we've got Herbie Hancock looking seriously large and in charge in a astronaut's helmet there and, yep, I guess, accompanying suit. Behind him, two to four, I assume, African warriors there, summoning up the power of... Well, it looks like a fire volcano.
Correct, lava.
And swimming into that fire volcano, it seems like a fish, which I remind of the coelacanth.
Well, you could be right. I thought it was...
A rainbow trout.
No, I didn't know what it was, actually. I thought it was a fish.
A rock cod.
Yeah. But, yeah, great Japanese artwork.
Yeah, whatever that's all about, eh?
And, so this record, it came out on CD.
It looks like something my friend would paint.
Really? Yeah. You've got some
Dennis
good friends.
Hey, anyone into some funky art, go and have a look at my friend Dennis Blair, dennisland.co.nz. Blow your mind.
I'll do that.
It will blow your mind. It's so good.
Speaking of blowing your mind, do you want to hear what Herbie did with his big hit from his debut album, Taken Off? The big hit is entitled Watermelon Man. It became a bigger hit when Mongo Santa Maria covered it, but this was what Herbie was doing 13 years later with his song Watermelon Man, live in Japan, July 1975.
So this is live in Japan, and this was only released in Japan, was it?
Correct.
When it originally came out.
Yes.
What did they do to get that extra privilege? It's not like, here's the Belgian release of blah, 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 blah. It's always the Japanese. It's just... This is live here. This is live. What's that for? Someone sample that. Do you think what it is? Oh, nice.
Are you waiting for Blackbird McKnight?
No, what's happening?
Okay. On the roads. Well, not now.
I thought he was going to play the intro to Taxi then for a second.
Oh,
That is so in the pocket. So tight. Maybe it's because I know that for a long time it was like going, you know, in Japan there was a thing, you basically had to sit down and watch concerts. You know,
this was still the sitting down era, yep.
Maybe that's why they recorded live things here, because there wasn't all the hullabaloo.
Could be right.
People toing and froing to the toilet and such.
Stamping and, you know.
That sounds great.
It's amazing.
Hi, jazz fan. Hi, Herbie Hancock fan. I don't know if you like this. I got it for you for Christmas. I don't know if you're into it. Listen to that. You can almost taste the watermelon yourself.
Yep.
It's a sassy little bass going on, isn't it? And that trumpet sounds like it's telling a story, Troy. What story do you think it's telling?
Well, I actually think that it is telling the story of the Watermelon Man. The composition is about a...
man made of watermelons?
No, he sells watermelons.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah. And he would walk up and down the streets of Chicago in the late 1940s.
Are you making this up?
No, this is true. That's actually true.
No, that must make sense, obviously.
There's probably more than one.
More than... It makes more sense than a man made of watermelons, isn't it?
So
anyway, right.
By Herbie Hancock.
So that's what, and that's no one's released that since.
I think there
wrong
was
with
a,
people, eh? Hello.
Yeah, I know. It came out on CD in America in 2014.
Yep. Okay. So okay. All right. So
but
yeah.
Not on vinyl, on CD.
Yeah. Do you have a CD as well, just in case people don't have a vinyl player or a thing?
No. It's not available on CD anymore. How weird is that? This fantastic live record from Japan.
This is the age of weird. 2018. Yeah. Unexpected year, unexpected things.
It's weird.
Next year's going to be worse, I'll tell you. Next year is going to be even weirder because no one has thought about 2019, the year.
No.
Right, go ahead, please.
Shall we move on to the next one?
Yes, please.
About a year ago, a great singer who only achieved success very late in life passed away, but at least he had had about 6 years of magnificent success that which had eluded him on a very poor and sad life. Mr. Charles Bradley.
A poor and sad life, a bit a slogger. And we're so lucky that he did that, because otherwise we might not have found out about him. There's an amazing documentary about Charles Bradley as well. You've seen that, obviously.
There is, yeah. And what a nice man he seems.
Yeah, man, just like, yeah, amazing. So it's so cool that he got some accolades before he passed on. This track that we're about to play, I played the other morning, actually.
Yeah.
I particularly liked it. I thought it was very cool. I was weary.
Wow.
But then how dare I, basically.
In fact, if you hadn't known that... You wouldn't have realised just from listening to this arrangement.
I don't know if Tess, did you know? Remember when I played that the other morning?
Yeah.
And you didn't recognise it off the bat, did you?
No.
So I told you.
No.
So you're right, Troy. So this is Black Velvet featuring 10 songs, all appearing for the first time in LP by the late, great Screaming Eagle of Soul.
Yeah.
I did not know that he was officially the Screaming Eagle of Soul.
Well, he is. Black Velvet was...
Yeah, there he is now, boom.
Well, now he is. Black Velvet was the name that he used because, of course, he was like a James Brown impersonator in small bars just before he was discovered.
He's good, too. He's a really good James Brown impersonator.
And the tune Black Velvet on here, this was done just before he died, and he didn't have the energy to put a vocal on it. He was too sick.
Wow.
He was sick with cancer.
That's really sad.
But they put the tune on here.
Yeah.
I mean, he heard it. And he was into it, but he just didn't have the energy to
sing
it.
That's great, because, I mean, I guess he's been heralded as a singer, you know? So he's, his songwriting was, his composition as well, was part of it as well, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know whether it was so much his composition, but definitely his
feel.
The feel and his input into how things were arranged.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could say that it's not really authentically retro soul. There's a lot of things about it which
because everyone's there's a lot of people done this, and this is what I found fascinating when I first heard of him. I was going, why is he standing out when so many people have done retro soul but I think you'll see why on this next track.
The passion of this.
See if you can guess what this song is a cover of.
Monkey see, monkey do. I don't know why. I'd rather be dead and being cool. I don't know why. Every line has a rhythm. I don't know why. Let's move. Love is blind. I don't know why.
Amazing take. I think it's the song, like I say, I played it the other morning, loved it then, I love it more today even. This is a cover of the band, a Seattle band called Nirvana.
Yeah.
A popular band.
This here is Charles Bradley's emotive take on it. And like you were saying, just off air, that there's those certain musicians and interpreters who can hear something and immediately do it, which completely reflects their own style.
Yeah, you know, they reproduce stuff, but they just do it their way, and without even that's every reproduction of every song they do is that way. And then he's one of those guys, maybe. This is a really abstract take on it that is so beautifully done, you know.
Yeah.
But also, and I think while we're talking about Charles Bradley, also I think that is what makes Nirvana's music exceptional. You know,
and it can be interpreted.
Well, I've always said that if a song, you know, as far as whether it's a great song. So if you can imagine it 50 years in the future and getting to a lift and hearing it in lift music,
yep.
and it still has a hook, that's a great song.
Yeah, you're right.
Nirvana has heaps of those.
So Charles Bradley's Black Velvet LP, this is a... what it has
is... Any other covers on there?
There is. Heart of Gold, Neil Young's Heart of Gold. Quite Otis Redding sort of ish take on it. But the other things on here, there's outtakes from Victim of Love and outtakes from Changes. But I was this far away from thinking we had to play Can't Fight the Feeling, which opens the album. Just an amazing, soaring soul tune. And then the deeply groovy Love Jones. This is really
Love's
quite...
Love spelled
L-U-V. Love Jones, yeah. Featuring Rose Jackson.
Love.
No, this is a great album, 10-track album, and it's a fitting sort of tying up, I think, of Charles Bradley's late in life, well-deserved, huge success.
Three cheers. Okay, what's next?
What's next is...
You got that on CD as well?
Yes, we do have this on CD. It's on Dunham, which of course is part of Deptone.
Right.
And is it the Menahan Street Band backing them on this? Mostly, yeah. Right, moving on to this, which is just flying out of the shop as we speak. This is a double LP from...
Hot Ticket.
It's a hugely hot ticket. Where did Giles Peterson come into the shop the other day?
Yeah, when's his thing? Was that Bean? Did I miss it?
I think it's Bean, but Giles was in our shop. He was...
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, super nice. I'll tell you what he did. You know that I've been big boosting behind that compilation album We Out Here, the double...
I don't know the term you young people use, big boosting. What's that
mean?
Oh,
yeah, I don't know. I've been super keen on that record, a snapshot of the London scene we out here, right?
Yeah, the Brownswood put out.
Anyway, Giles was at our shop, and he, because of course his label, his project, and so what he did was he signed one for us. That has like a message about the record, just one for us to give away.
Oh, cool!
And we're giving it away on Facebook or it's Facebook, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know, but you can still. We're going to draw it for tomorrow anyway.
It's, cool.
And so if you don't have that album, or even if you do have that album, you're probably going to want to go to the Southbound Records Instagram. It's on Facebook.
Just go there anyway.
Yeah, might as well. Anyways, so Giles was in the shop and he was super impressed. We had this one. He said this is his favourite album of the moment.
Wow.
Micaiah McCraven is an American percussionist. Well, he's an American drummer and band leader. And it's the kind of music that if the people that make this music in the United States, wherever, don't refer to it as jazz or anything, they refer to it as creative music because it's basically improvised, right? Mm. Created. But what Mr. McCraven has done on this record, there's four sides, right? Double LP, four sides. One side is in New York, one side is Chicago, one's
wow,
in
cool.
London, one's in LA, and it's all with different lineups of musicians.
Oh, cool.
The one we're hearing is a Chicago one, I think, and notable in this one, Tomika Reed on cello and Joel Ross on vibraphone. Also, you'll find the Chicago one, the great British saxophone player Shabaka Hutchings.
Shabaka!
Is on that. The London one, my personal favourite, Nubia Garcia.
I know, it's a personal favourite of yours, yeah.
And the Los Angeles side has the guitar player Jeff Parker, who is on this International Anthem Recording Company, but Jeff was the guitar player of that band Tortoise. Remember them? 25 years ago?
Yeah, they were noodlers, weren't they?
they were creative musicians. Yeah. Anyway, Micaiah McCraven's Universal Beings, this is a total stunner of a record. I didn't know what to put on here because nothing sort of captures what this record is all about. Two of them are taken from live recordings, and one of them from a studio session and one of them from a rehearsal room sort of jam. This one here, the New York one, is live. But I think you can get...
What's that? Blinky blinky noise. What's that instrument's there, do you think?
That one there?
Yeah,
it's a harp, isn't it?
It's a harp.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure you bring your harp for that jam we're going to have.
It's a lady called Brenda Younger playing harp on that. Another big thing about Micaiah's groups is the central part is always played by a woman, always.
The heart of the group.
Yep. Also on the Los Angeles side is Miguel Atwood Ferguson, who's you'll know him from stuff with Thundercat and Flying Lotus, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, other creative musicians. Yeah. I think that's quite a good term, actually, creative music.
Yeah, I mean, it describes exactly what it is. It's
creative music. Yeah.
But this record here, like I said, this is flying out. And I think...
It's definitely an atmosphere to it, isn't it?
Well, it's not all like this. Some of it is really up front. This here, there's a great vibe solo coming up. Here, you could have a look at this.
I'm going to hold it with my right hand. Now I'm doing that now. Apex of organic beat music post-produced from four improvisation sessions captured in the new jazz hubs of New York, Chicago, London, and Los Angeles. Cool album.
Weirdly enough, I have a suspicion this album will be of real interest to Dilla fans just because of the feel.
Ooh, that's an interesting call. Well done. Yeah.
Here's the vibraphone.
For some reason, I think of hastily put together fashion parades in department stores when they hear the vibraphone.
What? Enough, Kerry Buchanan yesterday reminded me of the top floor of the old farmer's building.
Oh, yeah!
He reminded
you
me...
Don't know, if you don't know about that, listeners, you don't know about that. That was life. That was life.
Do you remember there was a sad parrot in a cage up there?
Yeah, Hector.
That's right, Hector.
All right, Troy, that's a wonderful Young Genius featuring Brandy Younger, Tomika Reed, and many more.
Yep, that's Universal Beings. It's the album by Micaiah McCraven. Be quick. It's seriously flying out. Before that, we heard Charles Bradley, the Black Velvet album. And we started off with a, we've only got a very few copies of this one, Flood. Herbie Hancock, live in Japan.
Thank you, Troy. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Isn't it? Guess it's getting busy, lead up to Christmas and all. It's outbound. Is it?
It is, you know. And the other terribly busy thing is we got a record collection of 6,000 things that we're processing and putting out.
Well, that'll teach you to bend some music.
Yep. A bunch of that's coming out tomorrow as well, so.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes.